Muammar Gaddafi stole the show at the UN, but what about Barack Obama? John Travolta testifying about his son, Jet, and the day he died. Mackenzie Phillips says her dad raped her because he wanted her as his wife. Wow, from the mamas and the papas, a real bombshell. Normally don't get into that kind of gossip, but it was shocking stuff that shot across the wires today. We'll get into all of that and so much more here on America Tonight. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, coast to coast and everywhere in between. It's Wednesday. That means right from the get-go, though, we go to Easy Ticket Mike to talk about a little sports. Hey, Easy Ticket, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm surprised you said you're doing great. Boy, those Cowboys in the opening show. Unfortunately, the Giants walked away with a win and off of a kick. What a crazy game that turned out to be, and I'm sure Jerry Jones was disappointed not to get that win.
Well, I was, you know, I thought the game was entertaining, but, you know, the Giants, they can't score inside the 20. And, of course, the Cowboys, they can't score if they lose the ball four times in a game.
So no, unfortunately, I think that showed the vulnerability of the quarterback, who I don't think is going to win him a Super Bowl, Mike. I mean, who knows? But Tony Romo, this is his year to do something, and those four turnovers didn't help any. And for people listening, they know, if they participate and nail the score, that our game of the week was the Cowboys and the Giants. Nobody won that. This Thursday in our third hour, you have a chance to try to nail the score again. The computer will pick the next game of the week. And how about the Patriots? The Patriots getting, I think, stunned by the Jets, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, the Jets are a good team, but, you know, don't count the Patriots out, though. I mean, it's still early in the season. You know, the game that got me was Indianapolis. That you know, the other Manning, and you know, he came in. What I saw, I was reading the stats on that game in Indianapolis. Their offense had the ball for less than a full quarter. They had it, I think, 14 minutes and change for the whole game. And
yep.
So they, their offense, I guess, scored enough and scored quick.
Yeah, scored quick in the end when they had to, and disappointing for the people in Miami. And, of course, the Miami Dolphins have a couple of new owners, or at least minority owners. They own a chunk of it. They might actually be majority. I'm not sure if it's majority or minority, but they have a big chunk of the Miami Dolphins, Venus and Serena Williams. And they were there for the game. It looked like Miami was going to grab this one. And then, of course, you mentioned it, Manning scoring when they needed to score, but not much offense there. The defensive players, for people listening, and if you know nothing about football, think of these guys, these defensive big guys being on the field the whole time. You see them on the sidelines, and they're just sucking down the oxygen, weren't they?
Yeah. I think the important team, or the good team in Miami now, are the Hurricanes.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Boy, that's the truth. And speaking of that, let's swing to college football. Hard to believe we're already 3 weeks into this, going into yet another week in college football, because, of course, it starts before the pros do. You had Texas. A lot of people are Longhorn fans across the country, and, you know, they did what they were supposed to do. Florida with a win. And there was some, I think, interesting football, but nothing that really blew us away. You don't think there's any real big surprises, right?
USC, they got
knocked out
by their conference rival, Washington.
Yeah.
They dropped them down to, out of the top 10. And, I think the big game this week in college football is going to be Miami and Virginia Tech. You know, both of them had great games this last weekend. Miami, they beat Georgia Tech and brought them up in the polls, and Virginia Tech beat Nebraska. So I'm looking for that game to be a real strong game. And, you know, I think my personal take on it, I'm rooting for Virginia Tech to win that game. But, you know, it's anybody's toss-up.
Yeah, it's anybody's toss-up. That's how it is, especially with those two teams, no doubt. From football, we go to baseball, and, man, we are down to the nitty-gritty now. I mean, man, what happened to those Texas Rangers?
They just, you know, it took them a little bit long to for July to hit them.
That's
true. they normally fold in July, but it this time it was September, and they just lost too many games. You know, it looks like Boston's gonna, their magic number now is I think 5, and Colorado's magic number is 7. So you know, a combo of those many wins and their next opponent's down losses gives them the wild card spot. So, you know, what I'm looking at is, of course, New York, the Yankees, they've clinched their division. And I'm looking for really Detroit. They're not that far ahead yet. I mean, they still could be knocked out. But what I'm looking at is, you know, it's probably going to be New York, Detroit, and the Angels winning their respective divisions, and then the Dodgers, the Phillies, and St. Louis winning theirs, and I'm looking for the wild cards to be Colorado and Boston.
Yeah, and I think the Phillies have a great chance to repeat as World Series champs. It's hard to do, but they have a shot at it, certainly. But crazy things happen once you start to get into the series. And once you get, you know, through the divisional playoffs, I think all the way through, it becomes like a whole different game. All of a sudden, mistakes that didn't happen happen. All of a sudden, incredible plays that you've never seen all of a sudden happen. It's an exciting time, I think, this time of year for baseball. By the way, anybody listening out there, if you're listening to us in the great state of Connecticut, or you're listening to us in Pennsylvania, or you're listening to us anywhere, Illinois, etc., any place that, of course, America Tonight broadcasts to, including if you're listening to us on the web, you can get tickets to any of the stuff that we talked about by going to easy-ticket.com. And, of course, concerts, because a lot of people aren't into sports one bit, but they love music. What's going on with the concerts? Who's touring?
Oh, there's plenty of groups out there. I know Metallica's coming through here. They're on tour, but they're coming through Dallas this next week. I've got a bunch of tickets for their Kiss. They're out on tour. ZZ Top, you know, that group's been around for long. They were in New York this last weekend, and so, you know, they did great. But they were touring with Aerosmith, but Aerosmith, they haven't got back on tour. You know, Tyler, he broke his shoulder, so he's kind of out in the wings right now, so to speak.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. That was shocking when he did it. Nobody was really sure what happened to Steven Tyler, but it was worse than originally was thought. When he got up, he seemed all right, and I'm obviously hurt, but then it turned out to be worse than most people had thought. So, again, go to easy-ticket.com. Mike, thanks. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, you have a good week, Kate.
All right, you too. Enjoy it. Enjoy all the games. Hey, coming up in our next hour, the king of collectibles. If you collect anything, I'm talking about old photographs, stamps, sports memorabilia, your mama's china that you inherited and you have no idea what it's worth and you're curious, right? The guy to call is Harry Rinker, and he joins us in our second segment. So it's your chance to call in that one segment. Just remember that. Start digging through the drawers right now, and maybe in the basement or maybe in the garage. Hang with us. Tim Downs next.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. Airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Are you constantly tired? Have a hard time concentrating? Experience muscle weakness or have problems with digestion? The solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body. Liquid Zeolite, available only at RestoreYourHealthNow.com, captures toxins and physically carries them out of your body. This safe and effective way of detoxifying can easily remove heavy metals and contaminants. Studies show that Liquid Zeolite captures triggering antigens which cause allergies, migraines, and asthma, decreasing the rate and severity of these symptoms. Liquid Zeolite is a tasteless and odorless liquid that, when taken daily, supports a healthy, happy, and active lifestyle in an increasingly toxic world. And Liquid Zeolite is so gentle that you won't even know you're taking it. Although your list of ailments may be endless, the solution is simple. Try Liquid Zeolite for yourself by visiting RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Or call 1-800-976-0025. That's 1-800-976-0025 today.
Another one doesn't bite the dust, especially lately with what we heard was happening in New York and then the heightened awareness to law enforcement folks across the country when it comes to sporting events, entertainment venues, and that sort of thing as far as terrorism threats. I've often wondered about this. We've talked about the water supplies before, and what about the food supplies? Can you imagine the damage that could be done? Tim Downs joins us here on America Tonight. We're thrilled to have him with us to talk about the real threats that exist out there and what can we do about it? What can we do about the possibility of agro-terrorism? Tim, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate. Good to be with you.
Let's talk about that. The realities of that happening, how great do you think that reality is?
Well, it's difficult to estimate, but we know that it's been done in the past. Even the United States, at the end of World War II, had developed a rice fungus to use against the Japanese because their culture is so dependent on rice. But the war was drawing to a close, and we never used the weapon. The weapons have been developed. The technology is available. It could be done.
Wow. And it's such an open-ended question. It's like I said this the other night when we talk about, well, just be more alert and watch yourself at sporting events. But how can you do that if somebody gets in there and somehow figures out a way? So like with the food supply, is there what can people do to be a little bit more vigilant, I guess, on their own with their families as far as food is concerned?
Well, the problem, of course, is just the amount of farm space we have in the U.S. What I always tell people is think about the southwestern border in the U.S. Customs and Border Protection is trying to guard it to keep people from crossing over. It's a little less than 2,000 miles long, and it's almost impossible to keep people from crossing the border. Well, this year, American farmers planted 87 million acres of corn, and that's just corn. Now, how do you secure all that farmland? You can set up a metal detector to protect an airport, but how do you protect a 1,000-acre farm?
Yeah, and the answer is you really can't do that. That's not realistic.
It's really not. Now, we've got things in place to catch things once they've begun, but the fear, of course, is what if something is purposely launched? What if it happens in a number of places all at the same time? How would you stop it?
Yeah, boy, no kidding. You've written a bunch of books, of course, related books, Ends of the Earth, Plague Maker, etc. And obviously this is something that you've done research on and research in various areas and whatnot. What's the biggest thing that has surprised you in what you've learned?
You know, I'm a fiction writer. I write novels, but what surprises me always is the truth is stranger than fiction. Mm-hmm. I cannot make up anything crazier than what's already been done. People are always asking me, hey, aren't you afraid you're giving the bad guys ideas? And I always tell them, look, there are bad guys who spend their whole lives thinking of these things. And the good guys, they've thought of them too. When I do my research, I find this stuff has all been considered before.
Yeah, like you were talking about with the rice paddies, et cetera, what could have happened there. But we haven't, on a grand scale, we haven't seen this. And when I thought about having you on the show, I wonder this, you know, in what we're talking about, it seems like it would be a layup for somebody to do something where they could nail us as far as various areas of the food supply, like we talked with, from the farming angle, et cetera, maybe in other spots. Why do you think that? And this, again, is it's almost I'm just asking this. It's so open-ended. But why do you think that hasn't happened? You think that they're just if somebody's plotting, you know, we certainly know there are cells and people who want to harm the United States. Do you think it's just there are other things that are higher up as possibilities, like the tunnels and the bridges and how many people you have gathered at an event that I was just talking about, the higher alerts for sporting events? Do you think that's why?
You know, it's a funny thing, but terrorists seem to prefer cathartic events, bombs, big statements. But there are things like agroterrorism that would happen much more slowly that could be even more devastating, and that's why some terrorism experts really worry about this. The government estimates that for a terrorist group to build themselves a nuclear weapon from scratch would cost about $1 billion, and the equipment is massive and it's easy to spot. But if you want to build yourself a bioweapons arsenal, it takes about $10 million, a very small lab, and a master's in chemical engineering. That's why some people are worried about it.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And we talk about I said you have just a plethora of books out. How did you get into the writing side of this? What made you go in this direction?
You know, I love stories. I used to write a comic strip for a living, and I decided I wanted to write more than four frames, so I got into fiction writing. My central character is a forensic entomologist, Dr. Nick Polchak. They're the guys that use insects to solve crimes. So in Ends of the Earth, Nick is investigating insects that have been purposely released in a tomato field of all places, and he stumbles onto a plot to attack the food supply in the United States.
Yeah, and that seems like, again, when you're looking into the possibilities, that seems like something that could likely happen. Now, when you talk about entomologists, of course, we would need forensic entomologists if something, God forbid, on a grander scale should happen. You'd have everybody crawling around trying to figure out what actually took place, and that would be one of the key positions, I would think.
Well, you know, there's two chief ways that you can spread a pathogen in a field. One is you can fly over it and spread it with a crop duster. That's pretty obvious. The second way is you could actually use insects to do it. The Soviets, during the Cold War, studied the use of insects to transmit plant pathogens. They figured out how to do it. So it's something that could be done, and that's why I've used an entomologist as the guy that caught on to this plot.
Yeah, what happens to the bug man next? What, do you have something else on the horizon for the bug man?
He's always got adventures coming up. I send him everywhere. Last book, he was in Northern Virginia working with cadaver dogs. Prior to that, he was in New Orleans the week after Hurricane Katrina, helping the government identify bodies after the flood. So, hey, Nick gets around.
What was it like I always say it's when you're a writer, it's like giving birth to your first novel. What was it like when your first one came out, when you had it done, it was wrapped up, it was going to print, everything? What was that like when that first came out?
You know, it's a terrific feeling. It's a funny thing. The best thing about it is you put the book on your bookshelf, you take a look at it, and then you go get back to work.
Okay, that's done. We did that a long time ago. We're ready for the next one, and we got to worry
right.
about the one after that.
That's right.
Excellent. Okay, so if somebody wants to pick up your books, what's the best way to do it? Amazon, I'm assuming, is always
Amazon always. You can find out more on my website, authortimdowns.com. And, Kate, I've set up something special just for your listeners. If they'll go to my website, authortimdowns.com, there's a link for your listeners right at the top. If they'll give me their email address, I'll give them the first three chapters of the book free of charge.
All right. Everybody heard that author, right?
AuthorTimDowns.com.
Mm-hmm. Com. Very easy to remember. Tim, thanks for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
All right, so it's interesting to think about this. In Tim's case, his character, as he said, is an entomologist, and he's done a lot of research on this because when you do these books, obviously you have to get a lot of this stuff right, and you heard Nick say, which was the original theory, that there were going to be crop dusters that were rented, and that's how that would be the next possibility to go after the American people, would be to use the crop dusters. But there is definitely a thought that, hey, the food supply, just like the water, same thing. And, of course, as he says, with bugs, that would be one way of doing that. And actually, it's interesting, he's written so far, gosh, about 6 of these books. And as he said, you know, you put it on the shelf and then what's next? Actually, I think 7th, Ends of the Earth was his 7th. Book, can you imagine? So he has really gone deep with this in different areas, as he mentioned, the one we were talking about after Hurricane Katrina, and of course the latest one, his main character is called to an organic farm in North Carolina, and it turns out he knew the woman that was on the farm, and I don't want to give it all away because really these are so well written. So there you go. What are the possibilities of our food supply actually being damaged, contaminated by the terrorists? And this on the heels of what we were talking about in our last show, the fact that now there's this heightened awareness across the country when it comes to big venues, that if something's going to happen, and because of what happened in New York and finding backpacks and starting to piece together a couple of things, scrambling to get as much information as possible, there seems to be, with Homeland Security anyway, and of course you're not going to rip a lot of information out of these guys, but from what I could attain, it is serious enough that it's not just being thrown out there to the law enforcement folks across the country. I mean, they're really emphasizing, look, if you're near any of these big venues, really, really honestly, keep alert, because we're worried that perhaps some of these plans have been hatched. They don't know how far along. Was it, you know, in the plotting stages, here's all the information, but you don't have the people in place? That's what's not known, I guess, at this point. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends here on America Tonight.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's AlkaZone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Did you know that colon cancer is one of the most common forms of cancer in the U.S.? Did you know that the number one health problem patients complain to doctors about is gastrointestinal related? Health experts predict that almost every American will develop some type of colon disease, polyp, tumor, or cancer in their lifetime. If you suffer from constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, frequent gas, or other intestinal-related problems, you need to take action. That's why you need Temple Cleanse. Temple Cleanse is a unique colon cleanser that works by delivering oxygen and magnesium to the intestinal system to stimulate a gentle yet effective cleanse. It's the most effective colon cleanse product on the market and one of the best decisions you can make for your health. To learn more and to order your very own supply of Temple Cleanse, visit HealthTruthRevealed.com. That's HealthTruthRevealed.com or call 1-800-593-6273. That's 1-800-593-6273 today.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you're looking for a company that will meet and exceed your water purification needs, you need to visit PureWaterFreedom.com. If you're concerned about contaminants in your water, such as fluoride, chlorine, pharmaceutical drugs, arsenic, and even iron or rust, PureWaterFreedom.com has a water purification system perfect for your home or office. PureWaterFreedom.com carries state-of-the-art water filters for every application, including countertop, undersink, shower and bath, whole house, ultraviolet sterilizers, fluoride filters, and reverse osmosis systems that remove fluoride and pharmaceutical drugs, and much more. Installation takes moments, so you'll be enjoying crisp, clean, satisfying water in no time. Not sure which water purification system will work best for you? Log on or call today to speak with a water purification specialist. Call 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Or visit PureWaterFreedom.com. PureWaterFreedom.com, the best filtered water in the world.
Odds and ends. We have to give out an honesty award. And that goes to Pat Roberts, Senate Finance Committee member, Republican, of course, from Kansas. And the reason why is because this guy had the guts to say, look, I want a delay on this vote of this version of the health care reform until after the legislation has been on our website for at least 3 days. And what he's, I mean, shocking for anyone to say that, right? Here's what he's saying is, look, we need at least 72 hours for the people that the providers have hired to keep up with all the legislation that we pass out around here and the regulations that we pass out. Oh, you mean like those 500 and some amendments that were proposed by a bunch of senators the other day? It's hard to believe that anyone would ask for a little time out to actually read the legislation. Wow, how about that? So as far as we know, the lobbyists are the ones writing the Finance Committee's bill to begin with, right? At least it seems that way. So they should know what's in the bill. But I think it was a smooth move on his part, because that's the thing. It's ridiculous. You're talking about so many pages of legislation, and he's right, you can't keep up with it. And here's the brilliant thing. It starts to get posted. Guess what? All of us can read it. I mean, you know, it'll take us forever, and we'll have to sit there and take out our big magnifying glass and a marker and outline everything that we don't understand, or language that is worded so wacky you can't even really get a clear handle on what they're trying to spell out. Yeah. All right. In the meantime, also in odds and ends, while everybody's at the UN, the Obama administration, they also made an appearance, the president did. The Obama administration is certainly scrambling to work on a new strategy for the war in Afghanistan. We know that General McChrystal, who wasn't happy that his report leaked out as to what exactly he wanted soldier-wise, he wasn't happy when that was printed in one of the Washington papers, but everything leaks out of the Pentagon. Come on, General, you know that. The bottom line is that what is happening here, what's happening in these discussions with these security teams, supposedly the national security team would like to send their proposals to the president within 3 weeks, and the alternatives aren't necessarily chock full of the additional troops that the general is expected to say would be needed to carry out this counterinsurgency strategy that they talked about way back in the spring, right? And even just a few weeks ago that was leaked out, how many more boots on the ground would be needed? Because McChrystal has obviously stated, when you look at the U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan, it's going to fail without more troops. We need more resources. We need a bigger U.S. commitment after 8 years of this war, period, if this is what we're, you know, going to do. What is the strategy? Here's my question. What is plan B? All right, what is the strategy, and what is plan B? And how long before Americans demand a huge change here? Because the support for the Afghan war, even among a lot of Republicans, is at an all-time low. Part of the reason why is because nobody really understands what is the end game. We keep using those simplistic words. Tell us the end game. It's a 66-page document that McChrystal put together that mysteriously the Washington Post got a hold of. That's when you have good sources. And they're talking about this counterinsurgency, and we know that that's what's asked for in the report. But, you know, obviously the general in the field has to send in his recommendations for the troop levels. I mean, how do you implement a strategy if you don't have that? How can you, when you're analyzing the information, part of the commitment has to be about what's on the ground. That only makes sense. But there's a lot about what's going on as far as Afghanistan is concerned that really has never been very, very clear. That's why I stuck it in odds and ends. Sam is listening to us across the border in Montreal. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Both hunky and fantastically dory.
All right, that's a new twist on things. Hunky and dory.
Fantastically dory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What are people saying in Canada now about H1N1 with the vaccine soon to be coming the way of Canada, just like the U.S.?
Okay, what unfortunately I heard on the news tonight, local health officials are saying that, you know, most people, you know, will get just a normal flu shot, but now they're saying just drop that and just get one for the H1N1 because, you know, that one could be spreading. In fact, today in Vancouver, a third of the kids stayed home from the high school because they had the symptoms of H, you know, even like a little sniffle, kids stayed home, you know.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's, you know, if that's overkill or, you know, or they're just being really, really protective. So, you know, I really don't know.
We know people have died. We know it's way less than other totals for influenza, but we're just getting into the flu season. I think a lot of it is shock, and awe. Mm-hmm. I was watching one of the comedians tonight before I jumped into my plush studio in Dallas. Satellite studio in Dallas, the mothership, of course, being the fantastic facility in Minneapolis. And I was watching a little bit of Conan O'Brien, and they were poking fun at the swine flu, saying that they had all cut these various public service announcements about swine flu. So it's not taboo for the comedians to rip on it. So to me, you know, if it was a really super brutal pandemic, that would be kind of taboo. I mean, it would be taboo because you'd have so many people, astronomical amounts of number, or big numbers of people that die from this, that they wouldn't go in that direction. So let's hope it stays that way. You know, one of the faces of health, he seems to be on the tube all the time, at least on CNN, Sanjay Gupta, who is the doctor. You've seen him, and he's reported from all over the world. Sam, supposedly he got the swine flu and said it was the worst thing that's ever hit him. He never has felt like that in his entire life. How about that?
Go figure. One time, wasn't he didn't the president nominate him for or ask him to be Surgeon General or whatever you call him?
Yes, and he just, he was very good. He was asked to be Surgeon General,
right?
And he was smart enough to realize, why get involved with that crew? I can make more money on the tube and doing what I'm doing with CNN. And apparently what happened was is that he got the H1N1 when he was covering Afghanistan. He was in the middle of what was happening in Afghanistan. He went over there to do some reports, and he said he woke up in his tent and he was, you know, it felt like he had to hit the deck right away, and his body couldn't hold himself up. He was lightheaded, freezing cold, all that kind of stuff. Yikes.
Right. By the way, I spoke to Julie's daughter in Italy, and you know, they're talking about, sort of just get off the beaten track. They're talking about Obama's healthcare, can we call it a program?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, okay, what kind of healthcare do you have? I mean, being over in Italy. Okay, what Julie did with her daughter before they left is they took out health insurance. Because the way the team owners have structured it is, he'll cover them from leaving from their parking lot to away games and coming back. Same thing with practices. But if she goes out with the girls and they get hurt or whatever, she's up the proverbial creek without a paddle.
Mm.
So she took out health insurance here just to be safe. So you know that's being smart. And then I said, so what are some of your Italian teammates saying about it? Some of them are saying, hey, he's got more important things to worry about than healthcare. And they're saying, like, what? Controlling the deficit? I said, yeah, okay, fine, whatever, you know. You know, it's like, and then she heard that in Canada there might be an election here too. So I said, not right now, you know, so. As you know, she's keeping tabs on both her mother and me, because she said if I don't treat her mother with respect, she'll come and she'll give me a spike on my head I'll never forget.
You need to go over there and watch her play. That's what you guys need to
do. Well, no, some of her games are on, you know, local TV, so we just, you know, punch it on, you know, on the internet, we watch. And Julie's going over there again around Christmas. Even though we don't celebrate Christmas, she's going over there around Christmas time to visit her. Bring her a care package, of course. Well, what else would mothers do?
Mm-hmm.
And watch her play.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah.
As always, Sam, take care across the border.
Have a good one.
You too. Okay, talking a little about Canada there in the beginning, and of course the latest on the H1N1. And finishing up here with odds and ends, another one of these you don't say. Are you shocked that the Taliban is stockpiling the world's opium supply? I know, startling, isn't it? Isn't that what we talked about when we were mentioning Afghanistan and trying to snuff out the Taliban in that area? Of course, opium, supplying that demand for 2 years. You know, apparently it's gone pretty much missing. Of course it's gone missing. They know what they have. They're taking it. They are the world's narco suppliers. Narcotics, baby. Obviously. The UN did a study and revealed, that the opium production had dropped dramatically this year because of the aggressive drug-fighting tactics, they say, in the country. Well, perhaps. But you got to figure that a lot of this was cultivated, some of it that they could. And, of course, it was produced and it was hidden and it was being stockpiled, right? If the world needs, 4,000 tons of opium and another 1,000 is seized, where do you think the rest of it is going? Guarantee it's not all being set on fire. Stay with us, Obama and the UN next.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
Gaddafi was at the UN, and apparently he gave one of the more interesting speeches. In the meantime, you had Ahmadinejad, who said capitalism's unfair system of fault has reached the end of the road and is unable to move. Oh, thank you, mighty one, from Iran. And our own president naturally got up and spoke, and part of his focus was about nukes and really getting rid of the nuclear threat, if you will. Take a listen. Here's a little snippet of that.
Of nuclear weapons and seek the goal of a world without them. This institution was founded at the dawn of the atomic age, in part because man's capacity to kill had to be contained. For decades, we averted disaster, even under the shadow of a superpower standoff. But today, the threat of proliferation is growing in scope and complexity. If we fail to act, we will invite nuclear arms races in every region and the prospect of wars and acts of terror on a scale that we can hardly imagine. A fragile consensus stands in the way of this frightening outcome. And that is the basic bargain that shapes the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It says that all nations have the right to peaceful nuclear energy, that nations with nuclear weapons have a responsibility to move toward disarmament, and those without them have the responsibility to forsake them. The next 12 months could be pivotal in determining whether this compact will be strengthened or will slowly dissolve. America intends to keep our end of the bargain. We will pursue a new agreement with Russia to substantially reduce our strategic warheads and launchers. We will move forward with ratification of the Test Ban Treaty and work with others to bring the treaty into force so that nuclear testing is permanently prohibited.
All right, so there you go. You show me yours, I'll show you mine. Let's do it. Let's get it done. No more nukes. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting, the thing that got the most reaction was not so much about the nukes. And, of course, that's all about Iran and what's going on with Iran and the fact that they're, we know that they're getting the uranium, doing that enriching the uranium thing, mm-hmm, for power purposes. Yeah, right. Really, a lot of that was directed toward Iran, right? One of the things that Obama did say in his speech to the General Assembly, which was his first, he really shot a warning at Israel that America is not going to accept what he called the legitimacy of continued Israeli settlements. So, you know, people applauded when he said it. He also called for the Palestinians to end their incitement, that's what he called it, of Israel. But it was the idea of what he said about Israel that got the biggest reaction on the floor. And I think people were stunned outside of the UN. As the former U.S. ambassador to the UN said, John Bolton, hey, Obama just put Israel on the chopping block. Remember, it was just a day ago that he met with President Abbas from the Palestinian Authority and, of course, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, who, by the way, wasn't there for this UN speech and did agree that they have made progress. So Netanyahu said there has been some progress in strengthening security and, you know, that whole freedom of the movement, which has allowed the economy in the West Bank to grow. But he was very cautious, saying that more progress was needed. Obama went even a little bit deeper. He said there are four issues that separate the two sides, basically, that we talk about. Security. Hello. How about some history in there? Security, borders, refugees, and Jerusalem. But that the goal is a secure Jewish state for Israel and a independent Palestinian state with a territory that ends the occupation that started in 67. Wow. So this was interesting because, remember, again, the first speech from Obama to the world body at the UN, right, and pushing his campaign slogan to that international crowd and challenging others to step up and fix the problems at home and abroad. And, you know, he said it a couple times. He said you can't, it's not plausible to be bad actors and then blame the United States. Now, that's the best thing I've heard Obama say. I mean, that's the best thing. Everybody wants to crucify the United States, but then, man, they want our help. And if the United States doesn't help, it's all our fault, because why are we not helping? You know, it's not, I agree with what he said, it's not solely America's endeavor to do that when we're talking about poverty or anything else, overpopulation, any other problems that are being tackled. As for what he said with Israel, wow, how interesting is that? Do they realize history in this current administration? I guess one bold step, why not? We took one the other day. Let's take another one this time right there at the UN. So the other thing that Obama mentioned is that the whole idea of the Guantanamo stuff, right? And what he talked about there, the commitment to remove the troops from Iraq and, you know, the whole nuclear weapons thing that I let you hear, the idea to reach the goal of a world without nuclear weapons. Do you think we'll ever see a world without nuclear weapons? You know what my answer to that is? Call me cynical. No. And the reason is would you want the United States to completely remove their nukes? Do you trust that everybody else will go nukeless? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Absolutely not. But the guy who got the most reaction definitely wasn't Obama. And Obama talking for 38 minutes about, you know, the nukes and you can't blame the United States for everything and a couple of other things and some of the other climate control things, cooperating on carbon emissions reduction and all that sort of stuff. The one who got the most reaction in our second hour, you're going to hear this. So make sure you stick around for the second hour of America Today. But Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi spoke, obviously. He followed Obama. In his speech, it was interesting. He was taking notes and listening to the president. He had that, you know, that sexy translation earpiece they all wear from the 1950s. Yeah, we have nano iPods, but we have these old headgear shots. Anyway, he was listening to that and taking those notes. In the meantime, when Obama was speaking, I thought this was interesting because this is what I look for when I was watching this. You had the nutball from Iran, Ahmadinejad, who was in the chamber, and he just sat there with his hands, you know, in his lap. He didn't take notes. He didn't applaud. Didn't do any of that. Gaddafi was like a seal clapping when the President Obama wrapped up his remarks. Ahmadinejad did not do that. And as I said, both of them also spoke, but it was really the one who really rattled the UN was Muammar Gaddafi and what he said, and attacking the West forwards, backwards, and everywhere in between. By the way, as an aside to this, the hubbub over where, oh, where will Gaddafi stay? Remember that I was telling in our last show that there was a tent on Donald Trump's estate in New York, which was taken down on Wednesday, and apparently he was not allowed to stay there at all in his Bedouin tents. So they dismantled it. The Secret Service, everybody, they came onto the property, I guess, apparently, and they said he wouldn't be at Bedford because, remember, they wanted to, one of the attorneys there wanted to go after him, saying it was a construction site, and et cetera. So where, oh, where did Gaddafi stay? Where did he lay his little head after addressing the General Assembly on Wednesday? Man, and there was tons of demonstrators protesting, of course, the release of al-Megrahi, who was convicted of the Pan Am Flight 103 bombing back in, you know, that happened in 1988, 270 people dead, and, of course, a big chunk of them Americans. I'll leave you with this from Hope Floats. Beginnings are scary, endings are usually sad, but it's what's in the middle that counts. So when you find yourself at the beginning, just give hope a chance to float up, and it will.
Always somebody's got to gum up the world.